ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्राय स्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, Explanation of the Vedic Path, Text 11. Shaktya ashaktya athava buddhaya. Shaktya ashaktya va buddhaya. Samriddhaya chayat atmane. Samridhya jayad atmane agham kurvanti yatha agham kurvanti hi yatha deshavasthanu sarata deshavasthanu anusarata Shaktya Shaktya Atva Buddhaya Samridhya Chayad Atmane Agham Kurvanti Yatha Deshavasthana Usarata Shaktya Shaktya Va Buddhaya Samridhya Chayad Atmane Agham kurvanti yatha deshavasthananu sarata. Please repeat. Word by word translation. Shaktaya, by relative potency. Ashaktaya, impotence. Athava, or. Buddhaya, in terms of understanding. Samriddhaya, opulence, cha, and, yat, which, atmane, to oneself, agham, sinful reaction, kurvanti, cause, he, indeed, yatha, in actuality, desha, place, avastha, or one's condition, anusarata, in accordance with. Translation and purpose by followers of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Impure things may or may not impose sinful reactions upon a person depending on that person's strength or weakness, intelligence, wealth, location, and physical condition. Please repeat responsibly. Impure things may or may not impose sinful reactions upon a person depending on that person's strength or weakness, intelligence, wealth, location, and physical condition. Perfect. The Lord has described the purity and impurity of different places, times, and material objects. According to the laws of nature, that which is impure contaminates a particular person in accordance with that person's situation as described here. For example, on certain occasions, such as a solar eclipse or just after childbirth, one must restrict the intake of food according to ritualistic injunctions. One who is physically weak, however, may eat without being considered impious. Ordinary persons consider the 10 days following childbirth to be most auspicious, whereas one who is learned knows that this period is actually impure. Ignorance of the law does not save one from being punished, but one who consciously commits sinful activities is considered most fallen. Concerning opulence, worn out dirty clothing or a messy residence are considered impure for a rich man, but acceptable for one who is poor. The word desha indicates that in a safe and peaceful place, one is obligated to strictly perform religious rituals, whereas in a dangerous or a chaotic situation, one may be excused for occasional negligence of secondary principles. One who is physically healthy must offer obeisances to the deities, attend religious functions, and execute his prescribed duties. But a young child or sickly person may be excused from such activities, as indicated by the word avastha. Ultimately, as Srila Rupa Goswami states, Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulena krishna anushilanam bhaktir uttama. One should render transcendental devotional loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. One should accept everything which is favorable for the devotional service of Lord Krishna and reject whatever is unfavorable. One must learn the process of serving God from the bona fide spiritual master and thus always maintains one's existence pure and free from anxiety. In general, however, when considering the relative purity and impurity of material things, all of the above mentioned factors must be calculated. Om Agyan Vimirandasya Jnananjana Shulakaya Chakshunam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadat Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavansha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathantam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamvatamsa Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasadeshatarine Pancha Kalpatiro Vischa Kripasindu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Satya Satya Chavabuddhaya Samritya Chayadatmane Adham Kurvanti Yatha Deshavasthana Anusarata. Impure things may or may not impose sinful reactions upon a person depending on that person's strength or weakness, intelligence, wealth, location and physical condition. So first of all, I want to thank all the Melbourne devotees for giving me an opportunity to purify myself by speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam verses. As right in the beginning of the class we says, Nashta Praya Swabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So even if one doesn't have any qualification to speak, but just by reciting the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, one can be free from all the misgivings. So in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are hearing instructions from the Supreme Lord Krishna, which are given to Uddhava. Generally, this section is also called Uddhava Gita, you know, similar to what instructions Lord Krishna is giving to Arjuna on the battlefield. They are called Bhagavad Gita. And it's quite interesting that out of the whole Bhagavatam, Very few sections are there in which the Supreme Lord personally is speaking, giving instructions. In most of the section of Bhagavatam, most of his devotees and representatives are giving this knowledge. But in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna is giving instructions to one of his purest devotees, Uddhava, for the welfare of whose mankind. Just to go in for a reference in the last two chapters, as in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was a little confused. Arjuna is saying, on one side you are saying that it's better to practice intelligence than to compare fruitive activities, and still you are engaging me in this war, ghastly war activities. So why you are doing so? I'm confused. Similarly, if you see in the last two chapters, especially in the last shloka of 19th chapter, Krishna, after mentioning all the good and bad qualities to Uddhava, he mentions that actually there is no need for understanding these good and bad qualities. Rather, it is best to become transcendental to this material good and evil. So on one hand, he is explaining in detail about good and bad qualities, and then he says actually there is no need of all this, because even discussing this itself is a bad quality. He says, since to constantly see good and bad itself is a bad quality. And then he says, it's best to become transcendent to all these things. So then in the next verse, Uddhava says, I'm confused. On one side, you are saying that, we should not be too much concerned about good and bad qualities of our work. And other side, you are saying that without seeing the difference in pity and sin, means what is right, what is wrong, one cannot actually, transit, one cannot become advanced. So he says, how one can understand all these things. Similarly, Arjuna is asking the same thing. And Krishna is going to quote the instructions. Of course, he is Sarvagya, he is the absolute knower of everything, but still he is saying, I will quote what I have heard from. You remember what he is quoting? From where he is quoting the instructions? He is quoting that I am going to give the instructions what Bhishma Dev has given to Yudhishthira on the battlefield, after the battlefield. So Bhagavad Gita was spoken on battlefield. Yudhishthira Maharaj was receiving instructions from Bhishma Dev on the battlefield. And here Lord Krishna is also giving the similar instructions to Uddhava through this chapter. Now in the last few verses, we have been hearing about the purity and impurity of different places, objects and time circumstances. In this particular verse, Krishna says that once an object or a time or a place is impure, how it affects a person. Things are there according to time, places, circumstances which are impure, but how they are going to affect a person, or how by the presence of impure things one is actually going to whether get sinful reactions or not. He says it depends upon person's strength, weakness, intelligence, wealth, location and physical condition. So before that, as I mentioned, when Uddhava asked that why you are putting both these things together, then Krishna is mentioning actually the purpose of human life is to achieve perfection, but because everybody is not expert, so I am giving you the three ways. He says one path is of knowledge, one path is of work, that is karma yoga, and one path is of devotion. And the last chapter, in the 20th chapter, he has talked about pure devotional service. And the whole chapter, he is discussing that how a person who is executing pure devotional service, he need not actually be concerned about all other relative secondary things. But then again in this chapter he comes to this issue that if a person is not following the path of pure devotional service, if a person is interested in the path of work or jnana, then how things like purity and impurity, place, time, circumstances do affect him. In this particular verse, he says that, like we have heard in the purport, so many examples are given, like when a person can take food, when a person should not be taking food, which time is considered impure, especially after the birth of a child, a mother, and the family members are not supposed to touch the deity, they are not supposed to do so many rituals and formalities. But for a person who is above these two things, jnana and work, actually these things doesn't matter. That's why in the end, in the purport, it is being quoted, ultimately, as Rupa Goswami is saying, anya abhilashta shunyam jnana karma anavritam. These two things are quoted. Because in the last whole verses, this jnana and karma is being discussed. In the sense that anybody who is executing the path of jnana or karma, he has to be very careful about the time, place, circumstances, purity, impurity. Like Prabhupada said, it's very, very difficult to be free otherwise from these effects. Because we are all influenced by the three modes of material nature. So even if we are cautious about making ourselves pure or keeping ourselves clean, but still there will be always circumstances where we cannot avoid them. So that's why here Rupa Goswami in this particular verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is mentioning that if a person performs transcendental loving service without the desire of material profit, means that is karma yoga, or philosophical speculation, that is jnana yoga, then because what it is, it is bhakti uttama. Uttama means, tama means basically ignorance and lower modes of nature. One can become actually. Krishna is known as Uttama Shloka because first of all he is glorified by selected verses which are best among the shlokas, and one who hears those shlokas or one who hears those glorifications, he can also become above the tama, above the mode of ignorance. And he says it has to be done without the desire of material profit or gain through fruitive activities. Otherwise, there are so many list of things which is actually impossible, impractical for us to follow. Sometimes we visit some people's house. We may be very pure in our, you know, external activities, but when you go visit somebody's house, you sit on somebody's chair or table, the very air which you may be breathing in somebody's place may not be very pure. And you may not be qualified enough to perform all this karma yoga and jnana yoga. But bhakti is above all these things. That's why in the last chapter, pure devotional service, Krishna is mentioning this. That actually a devotee of the Supreme Lord becomes transcendental. This word transcendental is very important for all of us to understand. We have heard this word many times. Transcendental sound vibration. You know, Prabhupada, when he was talking about the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, he said the transcendental sound vibration is going to revive our dormant Krishna consciousness. So he said this sound vibration is transcendental. It is above everything. It is above everything. You may not be too much concerned. Like Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Mam cha vicharine bhakti yogena sevata sa guna samti tani. Sa guna. These three modes of material nature are otherwise affecting all of us. Like the other day we were giving example, you know, we may be thinking that we are independent. You know, like generally, you know, when you play football, you know, the football is kicked up in the air. So for that duration, just before a second, the football has got a kick. But when the football is in the air, it may think, oh, I am now independent. And the moment it's going to come back in the ground, again it's going to get the kick. You know, we generally give this example. Similarly, we are being influenced, we are actually getting kicked from the three modes of material nature every single second. But we are thinking we are independent. And another example is given, like when an animal or a cow or a dog is, you know, bound by a rope. So they say the rope is 2 meters, 3 meters long. So for that 2 meters, 3 meters, the animal can think I'm independent. But beyond that, it's controlled. So we are all bound strongly by these three modes of nature. But Krishna says, Mam cha yu abhicharine. So here also, anya abhilashata shunyam. And there also he says, avivicharine. Vyavicharine means mixed, you know. And avivicharine means without any other things. So that is Krishna's demand for all of us. Anya abhilashata shunyam. We have to make all our other desires except serving Krishna shunya, zero. Actually, it is very difficult to become desireless. We cannot make our desires to zero. Because being conscious, we always desire. Even not to have any desire is a desire. That is why Krishna, that is why Prabhupada used another terminology. He says we have to dovetail our desires. You know, it's a very interesting term. You know, if you see in a pond, when a dove moves, you know, when there is trail of, you know, water left behind, and if somebody follows, that is called dovetailing. So the whole idea is that coming above this jnana, karma, one has to basically perform devotional service without any material desires. Then Krishna says, Saguna Samtithani. And if you do that, then even if sometime there may be unconsciously, unknowingly, you may become impure or you may do something wrong, Krishna will take care. Like Krishna says, again in Bhagavad Gita, apiche suduro chara zoro bhajate mam ananya bhav sadhu reva samantavya. Because we are bound to commit mistakes, we are bound to, you know, do some wrong things which we are not supposed to do. Being a human person, as we all know, we all have these four shortcomings, and to commit mistakes is but natural for all of us. Even after practicing devotional service for so long, for years together, because of that impurity. Here we are talking about impurity, about objects, about time, about circumstances. But the most important thing which is impure is our mentality, is our tendency to enjoy this material world. Even if you purify the time, place, circumstance, it is almost impossible for all of us to purely purify, you know, our consciousness, mentality. But Krishna says, bhajate mam ananya. All these words are similar, you know, synonymous. Ananya, anyabhilashita, shunyam, and here it says, avicharine. You know, anya means others, and ananya means nothing else, not other things. Ananya bhav. Krishna again says, ananya chintayanto mam, ye jana paryapasate. So, in Bhagavad Gita, and of course in Srimad Bhagavatam, pure devotional service is being stressed. Otherwise, we may try to keep ourselves so much conscious about so many things, but we cannot be very sure that whether we will remain pure or not, and then it will affect us. Especially, like, there are certain things in the purport, like we can see that if a person is in a safe and peaceful place, one is obligated to strictly perform religious rituals. Whereas in other situations, one may be excused. Now, being devotees, we cannot say, okay, Krishna is saying that if you perform devotional service, then even if you are accidentally performing some wrong things, you are going to be excused. As long as we are in a safe and peaceful place, like we are given all opportunities, especially within ISKCON, we are given all opportunities. We need not work very hard physically or mentally to speculate, or even physically to work hard to actually meet our basic physical demands. As Krishna of course assures, yoga shema vahamyam, so by the mercy of his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, we are actually in a safe and in a peaceful state of mind and circumstances. We all know, you know, when you go out of the temple complex and if you go on the highway, there is a non-stop traffic going on from one direction to another direction. Sometimes I tell people, you know, people from one direction are going to go another direction thinking that this direction may have peace and happiness. And people from other direction, they are coming to this direction thinking that people are having peace and happiness this way. But both are, you know, in this illusion. But compared to that situation, actually, we are in a much more peaceful and safer place. So we are obliged to strictly perform. Otherwise, we are going to face the sinful reaction. of all our activities. Actually, it says a person who consciously commits sinful activities is considered most fallen. Now, if anybody who is practicing Krishna conscious, for him, this is a very important statement. Sometimes people say, oh, people are, you know, ignorant. They don't know who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and what is their eternal situation, eternal condition. But after hearing for so long, we have been, at least we should be aware of these two points, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are eternally His servants. But despite knowing these things, if consciously we are not executing, at least aspiring to perform pure devotional service, which is free from jnana and karmakanda, then actually we are the biggest, you know, sinful person. And we are going to face the music for that. We are going to face the sinful reaction. That is why Rupa Goswami is saying, we have to gradually do two things, because these are the two things which help them, will help us. You see, these are the two things also of the, these are the two things which are considered one of the six systems, symptoms of Sharanagati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned that anybody who wants to do pure devotional service, he has to surrender himself to the Supreme Lord. And Sharanagati has six symptoms. We all have heard about that. That, and out of those six systems, these two are actually the primary ones. They come on number 3 and number 4, but otherwise these are the primary ones. To accept what is favorable for the devotional service and to reject what is unfavorable. Now, the most of the time we are actually not able to, you know, make sure that we are doing these two things. And that's the reason we are not able to execute pure devotional service. We are not very sure, confirmed that whatever I am accepting, whether it is favorable for my devotional service or not. Like in the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami is again mentioning, Atyahara, Prayascha, Prajalpa, Niyamagraha, all these things are unfavorable. So whenever these circumstances are there, we have to be very, very cautious. I am not supposed to be a part of this, because these are unfavorable for my spiritual life. And what are favorable? Of course, he says, you know, association of devotees, Utsaha, Nishchaya, Dhairya, these all things are favorable. So if a person do these two things, accepting favorable items for spiritual life and trying to reject what is unfavorable, then it becomes very easy for him to understand the other four aspects of, you know, surrender. That Krishna is going to protect me. Krishna is definitely going to maintain me. And my all, you know, desire and wishes should be along with Krishna's desire. And then of course one will remain, you know, meek and humble also. But how this is going to happen? Only by executing pure devotional service. Otherwise we are all impure. We have been hearing right from the right day one. In Prabhupada lectures, Prabhupada says the whole purpose of our getting human life and then coming to spiritual life is to purify our existence. Why these things are being stressed? Because we are impure. These things are stressed because we are impure, so we have to purify. But as we know, this famous verse from Garuda Puran, you know, whenever we enter the deity room, altar room, we generally, you know, recite this verse, Abhitra Pavitra Va Sarva Samgato Piva Ya Smarte Pundrik Aksham. Just by remembering Pundrik Aksham, means one who is lotus eyed Lord, just by remembering him, you can actually become fully pure. But this remembering will come at the third stage. First of all, hearing and then chanting. Prabhupada has said, like pure sun rays, in few last few purports Prabhupada is mentioning, like pure sun rays are very strong and they can actually burn a person's, you know, like if it is very strong, you know, it can burn your skin or everything. So it is very strong, it is very clear. Similarly, if you perform bhakti without any material desires, anya bilashita shunyam or tivrena, these two things are important. We can't be casual also. Okay, there is enough time. What is the hurry? Now we are into We are in the four walls of temple. We have a separate shelter of spiritual master, or we are initiated for say couple of years or maybe even decade and 2 decades. So, but still we can have an easygoing life. That's not. He says, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Because if you're not, we are not performing Tivrena, we are little loose, then all these factors will be applicable to all of us also. What to do, when to do, when not to do. I don't know about here in Melbourne, you know, like, but you know, in India, you know, whenever there is solar eclipse or whenever these things are, you know, the general people think, you know, what is good, what is wrong, what is auspicious, what is not auspicious. They make a, you know, big thing about it. But in ISKCON, Prabhupada has taught us that if you simply perform devotional service without any material desires, without any tinge of, this word tinge is also, you know, tinge means like in a big tub of water, you know, if you just put one drop of some color, you know, it makes the whole thing, you know, it doesn't keep the thing pure water. So, why Bhagavatam is talking about all these things? Because as long as this tinge of impurity is there, Krishna is not interested in us. He says, you better be here. And the whole purpose of being with a pure devotee, being in a pure atmosphere, is to become purified and be closer to Krishna. So, one can remember Krishna, lotus eyed Krishna, especially, you know, Radhavala has big lotus eyes. You know, I've never seen any deity in whole ISKCON so far, where I've travelled, where Krishna has such big eyes. So it is so nice to see, you know, here in all our temples. Of course in Mayapur, because of the size of the deities, you will see, you know, Radha Madhava has big eyes. But compared to the proportionate size, you know. So you can remember the lotus-eyed Krishna only when these two aspects of devotional service, hearing and chanting, is done. That's why in Bhagavatam, so many places, Shanvatam, Swakatha, Krishna, Punya. We are talking of purity, Punyas. But he says here, just by engaging yourself in hearing Bhagavatam, Shanvatam, Swakatha, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtanat, Hridanta, Vadrani. Even the gopis were the best devotees of Krishna. They are the best devotees of Krishna. They are praising. In the 10th canto, when they are singing this famous, you know, gopi geet, they are preaching and they are basically glorifying the, you know, pastimes of Krishna. They says, Tava Katha Amritam. Your Katha, your pastimes are actually life and soul for the suffering living. Tava Katha Amritam, Tapta Jeevanam. And Shravanam Mangalam. Same. Mangal means to get free from all, you know, impurities, from inauspicious things. So just by hearing, Prabhupada said spiritual life is very easy. I was mentioning another example. If you want to meet a qualified person, then you need some qualification. And the higher the person qualification increases to whom you want to meet, you need to be also become more and more qualified. Like if you want to meet the mayor of Melbourne, you need to have some, you know, basic qualification. And then if you want to meet the president of the country, then you need to have some good links. And then further, if you want to meet the president of America, so on, you need more qualifications. And here is Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the supreme absolute truth. But he is offering us, you don't need any qualification. Just you, tivrena bhakti yogina. Just you engage yourself in pure devotional service, which especially compromises of hearing and chanting for people like us. Because rest of the, you know, I mean to say six items of devotional service come at a later stage. But the first two items are very, very important. If we do it with a sincere heart, then we will see, as mentioned in the last chapter, and as Krishna will further explain in the future shlokas, that these shlokas, these verses are relevant actually only for those people who are not able to execute pure devotional service. But gradually in association of devotees, one who comes gradually on the path of pure devotional service, then he automatically becomes purified. Like Prabhupada, when he was preaching, so, you know, people were criticizing him, why you are engaging, you know, people were have been eating meat and other things in the worship of deities who are very pure. They are impure in their thoughts, they are impure in their actions, they are impure in their body. So Prabhupada said, they may have been impure in all their these things, but simply by coming in the shelter of the Supreme Lord, by reciting His holy names, they have become fully pure. And actually they have become above Brahmanas. Prabhupada said, a Vaishnava is above Brahmanas. Brahmana is considered to be the purest person among the whole Varnashram system. Actually in these last few chapters, Krishna is giving these instructions to Uddhava, through Uddhava, for all of us, in general, people in general, that at least they should know what is right, what is wrong, what is piti, what is sinful activities. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, and after all the chapters, he says, now I have explained Jnana Yoga, I have explained Karma Yoga, but Yoginam Pi Sarvesham, and a person who is engaged in my pure devotional service, he is the most dearest to me, he is best among all of us. So in the all verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, the focus is that gradually by practicing the items of sadhana bhakti, we purify our existence in association with devotees, because Krishna is the purest person. If you want to approach Him, if we want to serve Him, then we have to become pure. Otherwise even Lakshmi is not allowed to serve Krishna. Brahma is saying, Lakshmi sahasra srabhya sevan. Thousands of Lakshmis are lined up. Like we see in the story of Sudama and Krishna, you know. Sudama apparently is a poor Brahman. He doesn't have even sufficient clothes, torn clothes. Of course, like as today's shloka says, for a poor person, it doesn't become impure by that. But because her thoughts are fully focused, how I can see my Krishna. Actually, initially when his wife said, you go to Krishna and ask for something, he was feeling shy. Why I have to ask Krishna? Why I have to ask Krishna? He is a real maintainer. He knows what is good for me. But then he thought, this is a good opportunity. You know, that's the making the best use of a bad bargain, you know. I mean to say, he said, okay, let me go because this way I can see Krishna. And when Krishna came to know that Sudama has come, all the week he came running from his throne. So Lakshmi was amazed. The queens were amazed. That how, you know, so many people like Brahma and Shiva, they come and offer respects to Supreme Lord. And here, the Supreme Lord is running after a old, poor Brahmana. And then, he's washing his feet. And then in the end, they can't, you know, just imagine that he's grabbing, he's forcing, forcefully even grabbing his, you know, torn clothes, and he's eating, you know, that hard rice, which is otherwise, you know, not good for human animals. And after one hand, he says, now no more. Because Krishna says, ye yathavam prapadante. Now, Sudama has given everything whatever he has. So accordingly, Krishna has also responded. He has to also give everything. So queens are thinking, if Krishna will give everything, if he accepts everything and then he has to give everything, and if he gives everything, then where he will go? So he says, no further. One farm is good enough. So the point is, Sudama could approach Krishna because being a purified person. So anybody can become pure by executing pure devotional service. Devotional service itself is pure. It doesn't, it is not controlled by any rules and regulations. But one thing we have to be very cautious, because we are not on the stage of pure devotional service, so as much as possible, we should try to follow the basic etiquettes, keeping in mind that our goal is to become pure in devotional service. Otherwise, if we are just doing following the etiquettes just for the namesake, then it will become a detrimental for our spiritual life. In the same verse in Udesha says, Niyamagraha. I may be keeping myself very pure externally, doing everything, but unless I engage myself in pure devotional service, I cannot be actually considered fully pure. So in these verses, we will be hearing how different objects, different times, different places and circumstances otherwise affect a person, and the persons get sinful reaction. But, as Prabhupada said, that if you simply engage yourself in chanting, hearing and remembering the names and activities of Krishna, then we can become transcendental, and Krishna will save us from all the accidental mistakes and fall downs, and we should be rest assured about that. It's 8:30, I will stop here because I don't want to go beyond. If anybody has any suggestion, comments, of course no questions. You want to ask question? Okay. Huh?
Like sometimes we see that according to 5 years, we are not changed so much in the devotion as considered according to 5 years. We have to be like so sincere in the purity part, but still like sometimes impurity are in the heart and we are not performing so actual like the devotion service, what we have to do.
Okay.
So 4 or 5 years we understand each and everything.
Okay.
So the thing is, I want to know from where we are lacking. So we are not so sincere like we come from.
Same thing, you know what is mentioned, we are not rejecting what is unfavorable for our spiritual life. Prabhupada used to give this very common example, you know, if you are sitting in a boat and you are rowing it all day and night, but if you don't open the anchor, then the boat is not going to move, make its way further. So it's not a question of 5 years or 50 years or even a lifetime. It's a question of our sincere desire to uproot. That anchor, you know, the anchor of strong attachment for sense gratification, or it can be both ways. It can be gross, it can be subtle. See, the whole idea is, we belong to Krishna, our senses belong to Krishna, but as long as we are trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, and they are deep-rooted, it's not easy also. 5 years is nothing actually. If you see the history, there have been sages and yogis they are practicing for years and lifetimes, bahunam janmanante, after many millions of years, one who is actually Vasudevi Sarvamiti. You know the shloka? Bahunam janmanante, jnanamanam prabhante, Vasudevi Sarvamiti, sa mahatma sudurlabha. He is not talking about ordinary persons, within mahatmas. He is not talking, Krishna is not talking about, okay, out of many million persons, you know, one will understand me. Out of mahatmas also. Means out of those who are practicing Krishna consciousness. Out of those who are devotees actually. Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. Such a Mahatma is rare. There may be many Mahatmas. There may be many devotees. But such a devotee is rare who will accept that Vasudeva Sarvamiti, that Krishna is everything for me. So because we are not able to accept this thing that Krishna is everything for me, like I was mentioning in the six symptoms of Sharanagati, that Avashya Rakshitvimam, Krishna will definitely protect me, Krishna will definitely maintain me, my all wishes and desires should be, dovetailed in Krishna's service. So as long as we are not fully convinced that Vasudeva is Sarvamiti, then it is not easy to, you know, develop these transcendental qualities and come out of these things. It's very difficult to actually progress. Because, you know, as we all know, Krishna is very choosy that way. He may give you everything. He may give you liberation, he may give you material assets, he may give you so many things. But when it comes to pure devotional service, he is very, very selective, very, very choosy. You know, I was hearing something, Prabhupada said, if a person is 23 hours, 59 minutes, 59 seconds practicing Krishna consciousness, but for 1 second he has a desire, let me just enjoy this world. Krishna says, okay, you be here. I don't want to. So that is Krishna's standard actually. When we talk of pure devotional service. And that is actually, that's why Prabhupada said, I am not interested in many stars. For me, one moon is good enough. Prabhupada always stressed, purity is the force, quality, he was always stressing quality. So that doesn't depend actually on number of years, or your age, or your material qualification, even for that matter, even our knowledge about Shastras. There is a verse, I'm not exactly remembering the reference. It says that your austerity, your knowledge about scriptures, even your chanting and you know, hearing. Until unless Krishna chooses you and He bestows His mercy, He selects you, you are nowhere near His pure devotional service. So this chanting, this hearing is like Prabhupada said, it's a genuine cry. We are not actually chanting because we are getting some taste in holy name. But when, like, you know, we all know, we are all in the same boat that way. That is the toughest part of our life, day. We have been hearing chant attentively, you know, we have to hear and we have to understand that it is non-different from Krishna's name. But most of the time devotees are not able to appreciate. But Prabhupada says, still you come. At least you admit and submit yourself that, yes, I am at least trying. I'm trying to give my 2 hours, trying to chant your names. So, we are all in the process. We are not actually relishing Krishna's name. Otherwise, Krishna's name is pure. Immediately we can be purified. So, like you said, we are chanting Krishna's name, we are hearing Krishna Katha, we are taking Krishna Prasad, but still that impurities are there. Because our mood is not that Krishna's name is pure, Krishna's Prasadam is pure. We are looking for the best item in the Prasadam. We are not saying that it is non-different from Krishna. So, it's a gradual process, but the whole idea is we have to keep introspecting. This is a very important word. You know what? You understand the word introspection? Intro means internal. Inspection means inspecting. It has come like that. Because even our God brothers, even for that matter, spiritual master will help you, guide you. But the onus is on to you. Like Prabhupada said, you can take a horse up to the shore of, you know, river or bank of a river, but you can't force him to drink. The spiritual master has given the rope, but we have to keep holding it. We have to hold it strongly. We have to hold it strongly, ignoring it others, whether others are holding or not. You know, sometimes we become loose because we think that, oh, because others are also not that much, why should I only be, you know, odd man out? Why should I be doing spiritual life seriously or sincerely? Because others are also having a good time in spiritual life. So why should I only be, you know, so much worried about whether I'm improving or not? But it's all individual, it's all personal. And of course Krishna is witnessing. He says, I am your dearmost friend, but I will help if you are interested in taking the help, in seeking the help. So that way. So I mean to say, time may not be the great factor. The most important factor is our, Prabhupada used for 2 words, sincerity and seriousness. Sincerity in knowing the goal, seriousness in pursuing that goal. That's all. That's all what matters. Okay. Yes, Prabhuji. Impure and pure, right? Like Prabhupada, in this purport we are seeing that, you know, like during fasting days, like here it is mentioned after solar eclipse, actually one is, the food becomes impure and one is not supposed to eat. Or like for that matter for devotees, you know, like say coming few days there will be Nirjala Ekadashi. Of course it is easy to practice Nirjala Ekadashi in Melbourne, but if you want to practice Nirjala Ekadashi in India, it's a tough task. Temperature is 45 degrees, Prabhu. And if you are asked not to take even water, it's tough. So, if a person is physically weak or is sick, then these rules are not so harsh on him. Okay, he can take some food. Like, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's example is very famous. Once while devotees were fasting, so one devotee was taking rest. He said, I am fasting, I can't go out for Sankirtan preaching. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, okay, let me get Mahaprasadam plate. You take the prasad and you go out. So, the idea is for a higher cause, that of course in this reference it is being mentioned that if a person is not physically fit or weak or ill, then he can take the food even if it is an impure time or impure circumstances that way. That is the idea, I think so. Yeah. Weakness part. That's what.
And intelligence?
Yeah, intelligence. Prabhupada is saying, you know, intelligence thing, the devotees are mentioning here, intelligence is very important. You know, if a person is less intelligent, if a person is ignorant, Of course, ignorance is no excuse, as it is mentioned. But if a person is less intelligent, then the effect of impious thing will be less. But if a person is intelligent, and if he is knowingly, consciously doing something wrong, then he will be caught. Then he is in real trouble. So that is a straight application for us. Like Prabhupada said, you can wake up a person who is sleeping, but you can't wake up a person who is pretending to sleep. So if we know that this is harmful, this is unfavorable, but still I am not trying, at least we should give a sincere trial. In spiritual life and material life, there is one big difference. In material life, simply trial is not sufficient. You actually have to achieve the result also. But in spiritual life, if you just make a sincere trial, your job is done. Because Krishna will take care of it. He will take care of it. But we don't make even sincere trial. So that's what it means, that if a person is intelligent and still he is doing impure things, then he will be more affected. But if a person is less intelligent, then he will not be that much affected by that. That's what it means. Thanks a lot. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai, Kai Gaura Hari Premanande.